Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Moby Ditka's in studio on the Parkins and Spiegel show, fresh from another padded practice at Hallis Hall. What up, Grody?
Gentlemen, and yeah, we got a lot to get through today. It was a muggy practice, but it wasn't the heat that we all expected. They actually made it through the rain because they started practice about 15 minutes early today. But the plot has thickened with Tevin Jenkins, or at least another similar layer to what we've been hearing. Peggy Kaczynski tweets today, an NFL source confirms that the Bears are actively trying to trade offensive lineman Tevin Jenkins, who fell out of favor early with the new staff, contrary to head coach Eberflus saying Jenkins' absence is 100% injury related. Jenkins, as Peggy tweets, Jenkins is at the facility working with trainers, but missed six straight practice. All right. So that was today after, I do believe it was after Matt Eberflus had spoken. This is the way Matt Eberflus handled the Tevin Jenkins questions today.
Yeah, Tevin's in that group where, you know, he's working with the trainers, and he'll be back when he's back.
Has he been here this week?
To work with the trainers, yeah, he's in the building, sure. Yep.
When does that become more than a day-to-day thing for you?
When it does.
You know, oh my God!
So when they tell me, "Hey, this is more than a day-to-day situation," then I will inform you of that, because that's what our policy is. You know, during this time of year,
his absence is 100% injury related.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is the value of the time he could have spent on the field the last week?
Yeah, that's really for everybody, isn't it? You know, so anybody that misses time on the grass that's not good. It's not good for the player. It's not good for the team. That doesn't matter just Tevin. That's everybody.
I like the idea of thinking of Matt Eberflus as like an old pothead from the 60s who refers to marijuana as the grass. Anyone who misses time on the grass, it's not good. You know, that dope will really get you. Got to stay on the grass, kids.
Oh, God. You got to be on the grass to not hear the man lying right there. But, I mean, he's
we
told.
We haven't had our players on the grass yet.
Yeah.
We got to have some players on the grass.
On the grass, yo.
He's told what to say. That's our policy. That's what I'm going to say. Hey, guys, I'm learning how to do this job. So I'm just going to say what I've been told to say. What is he supposed to do with the well phrase, so that is 100% injury related? Should he say, you know, I'm not going to answer that one, you know, because then that is revealing, because yes is a flat out lie.
Here's where they're not.
You think it's a flat out lie?
The reports are that it's they're looking to trade him.
Yeah, we don't
know.
Well,
right, but they could be. But that doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean, the Cubs were trying to trade Wilson Contreras and they were playing him. Like, you could trade a player that you are practicing, right? I I think it doesn't. He has to be hurt. If you want to trade Tevin Jenkins, you want him playing. Who's trading for the injured guy?
Well, unless,
other than the guy who drafted the injured guy, right?
Atlanta. Unless they have allowed these reports to get out there so other teams can work the channels with the Bears and they can call and say, is he really hurt? No, he's not really hurt, but this is what we're saying to keep him out of practice and whatever technicalities there are. So I think it's still possible that he's not
get,
hurt.
You're not going to get much for him if he's healthy, but you're going to get less for him if he's hurt. You're not going to get anything for him if he's hurt. So he can't be hurt if you're actually having conversations about it.
I guess. I mean, I feel like if he was healthy, he would at least be a backup, right? I mean, Tevin Jenkins would, I would assume, get reps, right?
He was competing for the swing tackle spot. So
they would make him the towel boy. Like, they don't hate him that much.
No, no. There are no-name offensive linemen getting work. My guy, Pig Simmons, is out there getting work. Everybody gets in training camp.
He doesn't like where he is on the depth chart. And doesn't want to put himself in harm's way practicing for a team that doesn't believe in him.
You're sticking to
absolutely.
Tevin Jenkins is imposing his will.
And well, you put it in a different way about the agent, that the agent says, look, they don't believe in you here.
I do. I think it is possible that Tevin Jenkins doesn't fit the profile of an offensive lineman that Ryan Poles wants for his system. And they said, you got to slim down. You got to get more mobile. And lose a bunch of weight.
Which he was doing. He talked about it.
Right.
The whole Pilates thing.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
But that's turning himself into a different player than the successful one that he was.
And the agent and him are just like, you know what?
Nah.
You were drafted by the old regime. You're better at your bigger weight and in that type of body. And plenty of teams would want you as a mauling right tackle.
Right.
Just, this isn't a fit. We're going to get you out of there.
Is there any chance that the entire party, the polls people, and the Tevin Jenkins people are all kind of in agreement, in perfect harmony on all of this, that, hey,
it's time to go.
Yeah.
Separation.
You do have value, Tevin Jenkins, just not with us.
Mm-hmm.
If it is the theory of body type.
Well, you're right. If it's that obvious to everybody that you're not our guy, then they could say, look, we'll do this. We'll say you're injured, and we'll look to trade you.
And then we'll tell the GMs that you're indeed not injured.
Correct.
Teams which would do a physical on him anyway, and they could all
and
see
And then we
the,
don't have to waste time using you in reps.
Right.
And you don't have to endanger yourself. Sure, that's on the table.
Or he's injured. I got to tell you, like the media room at Halas Hall, it's divided. Like there's probably half and half in terms of people who think he's injured and people. I would say even more actually believe he is injured.
That's
right
interesting.
I think he's injured because even if you hated him and you were trying to trade him, you'd still play him.
But what if you are really earnestly trying to trade him, why would you want to risk injury?
Exactly.
Well, because you need to show other teams that he's healthy.
Well, other teams will find that out on their own when they do their own physical. And when
you wouldn't expose him if you want to trade him.
Right. I mean, it's football.
You would send your coach out there to give as little information as possible, and then you would tell the truth to other teams that called you.
Baseball teams protect their guys just as much.
Yeah. Did it strike you that a tackle could be this much of a stylistic clash with a new regime to just be a non-starter like Mike Martz thought about Greg Olsen as a tight end?
That's very interesting. Yeah, bringing in Brandon Mani Maniula,
right,
or Mani Mali Useless, as Grabber would call him.
I don't know that I realized a tackle was so entirely scheme specific.
Well, I didn't realize.
If that's the fatal flaw.
Exactly. And I didn't realize that it wasn't fixable. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's no way that everybody in that Bears offensive line room, when Ryan Poles walked in with the incumbents, looked like they fit the style. He probably sent a diet plan and a workout plan to all these guys. Hey, show up to camp at this weight and you have a chance to play on this offensive line. So
what do you make then of Braxton Jones being another day as the left tackle with Riley Reiff as the right tackle?
I take it as they really like Braxton Jones. That's exactly what it is. That's what I was
told. So Larry
told.
Borum is swing tackle.
I don't know about that. I mean, he still might be competing with Riley Reiff.
They gave Riley Reiff $10 million.
Yeah, Reiff is going to start on
Riley Reiff has to start with
$10
million.
You're probably right, but I think you're still going to get lots of looks from Larry Borum. But yeah, he'd probably could end up being the swing tackle, but
money talks in football.
Braxton Jones, I guess we found that out too with Jimmy Graham, tight end Jimmy Graham, when he was here and took up all those Cole Kmet repetitions. But Braxton Jones. Yeah, I think that's the whatever they do with right tackle, interesting with potential competition. But man, they like Braxton Jones. And I think that they Poles has got to look at it as, yeah, if I could get a fifth rounder to be my starting left tackle, that's genius and that's really economical for them. So okay. the very simple answer is they like him. And I was told by somebody, hey, I don't sleep on Braxton Jones, and this was the OTAs. This is a serious thing. Don't sleep on him as the starting left tackle.
All right. Let's talk about the quarterback, Justin Fields. Offense was better today.
It was better today.
Basically couldn't be worse than yesterday. How's he feeling?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was definitely a better day for the offense. And one of the things that Justin Fields has had to deal with is losing. Didn't probably have any of that in high school. We know how little of it he had at Ohio State. And he's had to manage his frustrations.
I mean, it's going to come. But, I mean, my competitive nature, I think everybody on the offensive side of the ball is competitive nature. I mean, you're going to want to, you know, be successful every day. But, you want to have a successful play every play, but you also got to know when to take your wins and losses. And I think that's one thing, you know, I need to do a better job this year is when the play's not there, you know, throw the ball away or, you know, check it down. So that's one big thing that, you know, I have to get used to because I feel like, you know, in college, it's just like, I mean, you have pretty good players around me. And, I mean, we're in the league now, so and the defense gets paid too to make plays, but when the play's not there, just you know, move on to the next play and get on the next play.
And you said you don't care about like the outside noise of the game, but is it tough in training camp when so much of this is public? Everyone's watching the development, and it's not as smooth as they like.
I mean, they're not playing, so I mean, it doesn't really matter. They're not helping us win. But the thing is, we know our offense, we know the plays. We know what's supposed to be going on, but, I mean, it's hard to have an opinion on something when you don't really know what's going on the inside, when you're just looking at it from an outside view, so stuff like that. But, of course, you know, they want to see big plays, this and that, but, you know, we're playing situational football. We're, you know, third and four. We're getting the first down. We're not worried about a touchdown at the moment. We're trying to get the first down first, and if a touchdown comes out of it, then, yeah, that's what it is. But, you know, it's, I mean, that's why you really can't, you know, take their opinions into account, which, I mean, you know, they're entitled to have their opinion, but at the end of the day, like, they don't know what's going on.
Groats, it apparently they had a good drive today, right?
They did, yeah, right at the very end, as a matter of fact, ending in a touchdown pass to Darnell Mooney.
So, real good drive there at the end, but there was a lot more failure and a lot of crazy scrambling.
Are you getting
any sense, or has he talked about how much is him breaking contain and taking it upon himself to try and gain some yards, and how much is just desperation because the offensive line is as bad as Danny fears it's going to be?
Yeah, and man, I mean, I asked him straight up about how does the alignment of the offensive line constantly, the reconfiguring on a daily basis, how much is that affecting you? And he says nothing. He actually said he said the opposite. He said he likes it because injuries occur during a season, so it's nice to get used to playing with all of these different guys. So he's not breaking bad on anybody. But yeah, that's what we saw for a lot of the early part of the practice today. Justin Fields having to break the pocket. It's still good to see him run, though. I mean, to actually see the speed and remember that although we don't want the guy running for his life, that it is still good to use that particular weapon. And you'll actually hear Fields talk about in this next cut, you know, getting used to receivers and some very specifics at the end of it. But what I was following up with Justin on was the Byron Pringle's contention that Fields will get on his teammates.
Are you using your voice more on the field now than ever?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, those guys know not to take it personal because, I mean, we're all fighting for the same goal. We're fighting to win games. So, you know, when everybody messes up, I mean, we had to talk before camp. We're going to hold everybody accountable and stuff like that. So when you're not doing your job or you mess up, you know, you're going to get harped on. You're going to get yelled at. But at the end of the day, you know, nobody's going to take it personal. Everybody's got, you know, working, you know, to win games. So I think that's all that matters. And, you know, if they take that positively, then, you know, we can get better with that. It's faster for me to just get the ball out like that instead of turning my whole body. So, yeah.
First time you did it, you were like, oh, that worked. I'm going to try that some more.
Yeah, it worked out. So you don't have to be a robot.
Justin, does having command of the room and knowing that your voice really carries a lot, does that mean a lot to you? Is it something that has also been very organic and come naturally?
Yeah, I think it's came naturally, but it doesn't really mean a lot to me. I mean, of course it does, but it's like I don't need to have that power. You know, I think at the end of the day, they know, you know, what we're trying to get done. Like, everybody knows, like, we're trying to win games. So just me communicating and getting on the same page as guys to what I think they're going to do. So, you know, we're on the same page. So I'm just on certain plays and stuff like that. To where, I mean, I'm just thinking of, like, instances in my head right now where, like, you know, yesterday there were some plays where, you know, I'm thinking guys are going to be in different spots, but it's just, like, we're missing it just by a little. So just talking through those, you know, with different players, different receivers, and, you know, based on the coverage the defense is running, just where they're going to be on the route and stuff like that, I think, you know, that's going to, you know, I'll put us on the same page to be as successful as possible.
That matches up with the Byron Pringle stuff that we were talking about the other day, where he was saying that he's on the wrong side.
Yeah, when Fields is rolling right and Pringle's like, oh, I was going left. I didn't even know.
Could that have been what he was talking about there? It's like, sometimes I think a guy, we didn't communicate right. I thought a guy was going to be here, that he was over there. So, yeah, that's there. You get the feeling that Justin Fields is dealing with a lot and what? Trying to manage not just his own expectations, but his expectations of this team and this offense.
Well, he's that dude. Like, he's cool. He's got the swag. He's got the confidence. He's always been on teams where he's the best player and he's got a ton of great talent around him. And last year was humbling. And now this year, it's another new system and there's not that much talent around him. So you're like, it's good to see him run. Yeah, because it's a really valuable thing to have a quarterback who can run and make plays on the run. But you don't want him running for his life.
Right, and that's what it felt like today.
There's a huge difference. Running within the design of an offense, or using it like when a play breaks down and like secondary offense, sure, improvisation. But running for your life is the snap comes. Oh my God, two guys are already through and I have to run.
Oh, like, you mean the Cleveland game plan from last year?
Yeah. There's a difference between the improvisation and the secondary offense and running for your life.
Yes.
And you want the former, not the latter.
This is very true.
They're going to lean on David Montgomery like crazy this year, Groats.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I think that they're gonna use him in tandem this year a little bit more, even probably. But let's start with David Montgomery and the very peculiar beginning to his press conference today. No.
I got two Montgomerys. Which one?
Oh, the awkward start to his presser.
Is there any trick to running behind a fullback?
The trick is probably just, really the biggest trick is just run.
It's going to be one of these.
Dave, you obviously in the contract year. You got a daughter coming in January.
We don't know yet. We won't know till birth. Huh? We won't know till birth.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you said that. My bad.
Oh, no, you go.
I forgot where I was going now. Okay. There's a school of thought that with running backs, unless they're this generational talent, they're kind of expendable or replaceable. How motivated are you kind of going into this season to show that you absolutely are worth whatever it is you're going to be seeking in the open market?
I really ain't thought too much about that. Honestly, like I said, I don't look to giving any validation to anyone but God, bro. So I live my life. I'm on a spiritual journey right now for myself and being sure that I just always focus and keep my eye on keeping the main thing. And really is God, bro. So I'm going to go out every day with the opportunity to be the best I can be. When it's all said and done, God will take me and put me where I need to be.
It's going to be really interesting this year because I do think that we're going to see, I mentioned in tandem, and I meant to say with Khalil Herbert, I think Khalil Herbert's going to get a lot of opportunities this year because this would be the walk year after this year for David Montgomery. And do they want to invest in him and give him the extension, or would it come in handy to have Khalil Herbert be the starting running back for the Bears next year?
Well, and if you want to run the ball 30 times a game, you can't do it with one guy.
Truth.
Right? So there's the contract part of it and like preparing for the future, but there's also just if the goal is to keep Justin Fields alive by running the football and grinding out games games and having a lot of third and twos and third and threes and slowing the game down, you know.
Oh, multiple,
Zeke Elliott has legs. Tony Pollard, right? Nick Chubb has Kareem Hunt.
Yes.
Like, if you're trying to be one of the best running teams in the NFL.
And they have the fullback, Kari Blassen game, which they hadn't had. So
and Valus Jones, I'm sure, will get a few touches a game. Absolutely. In the running
game. There's way more time splitters in running backs these days than true number one overall load backs.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry is basically a one of one in the NFL. Dalvin Cook's like the closest second, but even he's a distant second to the load that Derrick Henry takes. But yeah, that was an awkward start.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I saw it written. I'm glad you brought it back. The trick is to run.
Yeah,
that's run. Really the trick. I actually thought he was going to give like a really good. I'm like, oh, interesting. There's an answer to this question. No, there was not.
He's an interesting dude who's sharing a lot more this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And he kind of revealed to us, admitted to us that over the last few years that he has been feeling really depressed, and I'll let him fill that in for you.
You know, I was just mentally depressed. I was depressed, you know. I was since I was here as a rookie, you know, it had nothing to do with the coaches. It was more so with myself, you know, not having meeting the standards or the expectations that I put on myself, you know, going back to creating those unnecessary pressures for myself. You know, a lot of people don't understand being in the NFL. Like us as individuals, we go through a lot of mental battles on a daily basis. You know, but since we athletes and we professionals and we get a lot of money, that's get overlooked. But at the end of the day, we still human beings, and people forget about that. So for me, for a while, I masked that. I masked it. I let it be what it was, and I just kind of let, you know, it be what it be. But at the end of the day, like, my mentality and my mental was the most important part of my life. And I could not continue to live my life unhappy. So I was just in a bad place, like mentally, like how I was looking at life, how I viewed it. I was unhappy, but it's on an up and up now. And I'm grateful and I'm blessed that God, you know, brought me here and I'm here where I'm at.
Sounds like a guy who is seeing a sports psychologist.
It's funny is that after the press, that last answer right there, I and another reporter at the same time asked, are you seeing anybody professionally? And he didn't answer. It was the end of the press conference, so it was literally over. So he wasn't trying to diss us, but I would like to know the answer to that question. The next time we talk to David Montgomery, I will ask him. I wanted to know if he was just seeking professional help, period, like a psychologist, not necessarily a sports psychologist.
Sure, or there could also be a priest or a pastor.
Sure,
or
there's definitely
involved.
A lot of spirituality in there, too. But just when he talked about like the athlete mentality and people like we put pressures on ourselves every day for being pro athletes. Like a lot of that language sounded very like a sports psychologist specifically. And Ryan Poles shared that he did it. So it wouldn't shock me at all if the Bears organization got him into that type of situation.
Well, and they just hired a guy who's a licensed clinical therapist.
Right.
Instead,
that's
of,
why they fired Lamar Campbell, right, as it turned out.
They changed the angle of how they're doing that thing in terms of player engagement.
Yeah, that they wanted a guy very zeroed in and very specific on that.
Grody, can you do another quick segment?
Yeah, if you guys want me, I'll do it.
Yeah, let's do. We got a couple defensive players and Bears nuggets and other questions to throw at our Bears reporter, Moby Ditka, next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
The afternoon show, the police of 670, the score.
Afternoons on the score.
Another segment with Moby Ditka in studio. Our Bears reporter back from day two of padded practice at Hallis Hall. We've heard from Matt Eberflus on Tevin Jenkins, Justin Fields, and David Montgomery.
This music makes me think of you, Mark Grody, in like a shiny leather jacket, driving around maybe in an El Camino, something like that.
Oh, nice.
And your doors don't open, but the windows do, and like you just climb in and out at your leisure.
The Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, the Starsky and Hutch.
Jumping out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could see. I think of me, too, when I hear that song. Hey, I'm not going to the bars, you know, not doing any of that stuff, not staying out late.
You're driving fast.
That's my thing. Yes.
I like it.
What about the defense today, Grody? Because everyone's like, the offense stinks.
I know.
But in training camp, all these times when it's Bears on Bears action, right? It's like, well, is the offense bad because the defense is good? I tend to think the answer to that is most likely no. But?
Yeah, well, I will say this. Like, legit, I like the way the secondary is playing for the Bears. And I enjoyed watching Kyler Gordon. He had a nice deflection of a Justin Fields pass today, and that is the way the fans there saw it. Of course, they didn't like it, but Kyler Gordon has looked really good.
He's got long arms. He grew up as a dancer. Did you know that?
That's right. That's right. I do believe you and I got the most possible out of Mr. Gordon, and we didn't. But I was going to talk about Brisker here.
Yeah,
as
sorry.
Well.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, the Brisker. He's been very impressive as well. And he was asked a question that gets asked somewhat frequently to players, and that is to, hey, provide an example of how you have gotten better in progress in throughout training camp, because everybody says, oh, yeah, I'm getting better, I'm learning new things. Well, give us something specific. And I thought that Jaquan Brisker, in this cut you're about to hear, did a really good job of that.
Today, I broke on a ball with my eyes. I feel like, you know, last week I wasn't too great with my eyes. I was just looking at the quarterback. But, you know, today I made a huge improvement in traffic. Today, you know, I cut across, you know, the middle of the field. Should have been a pick, but, you know, I broke on it with my eyes and then, you know, got a deflection. So
it was a play, I want to say it was Monday. You were on the left side, you had the tight end right there. They kind of ran a little bit of a motion coming to your left, and then that tight end snuck all the way back other side and kind of ran up way up the right sideline. Was kind of trailing them. Was that an example of like getting your eyes in the wrong place and then kind of catch up? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I would say on that play, the DN could have helped me a little bit more, but I could have had my eyes better right there if I just, you know, drove my eyes to his hip and then, you know, just continue with him. But, you know, if the DN would have just, you know, pushed him out since he already in the six, you know, it would have just pushed him out to me and then I would have been, you know, right there. But, yeah, that was one of the plays right there if I just had my eyes just glued instead of just looking in the backfield and then looking at my man. So that's definitely an example right there.
Specific.
Yeah.
The play that the reporter's asking about Do you remember? Like, so he's basically saying that he sometimes, like, his eyes tricked him to. Like, what's he? Because I don't know the play that he's referencing there, but like that was very football-y and specific. But I felt like I was like getting a film review without seeing the play in front of me.
Right, and I don't remember that specific play
sure.
either.
Okay, so fair enough.
So it was definitely something very specific. That
but you think
that,
he's good.
That it look, I do. I think
secondary overall. Hubarker said last week that he thinks the secondary is going to be the strongest part of the team.
I think he could be right.
Kendall Vildor has come in with a big old chip on his shoulder and is playing with the first team a lot as they play Kyler Gordon at the nickel, and Kyler Gordon likes that.
Yeah,
got Eddie Jackson now with a box safety in Brisker, so Eddie should be freed up to make plays. It makes sense, and this is what those guys' strengths are. Eberflus was a secondary guy. His defensive coordinator is a secondary guy.
I said that with how football is going, I said this a couple of years ago, that give me the best corner over the best pass rusher. Because it's just so much of it now is snap and throw. Like you need, it's very hard for guys like a Khalil Mack to make a huge impact. They can, obviously, and I know old school football people go crazy when I say that, but if you're going to have a best part of your defense when the most dangerous play is the pass and it's a passing league, you want it to be your secondary in the modern NFL. I know everyone's like, it's all in the lines. It's the line of scrimmage. Okay, but if you have a great secondary, that's a real rarity. And the Bears' secondary is young with upside. So if that's the best part of their team, that's great because they should be able to grow together and play together for 4 or 5 years.
The Kendall Vildor thing is interesting because it just shows the other side of the Tevin Jenkins thing. Whereas maybe the Bears, if we're right, they don't believe they can revive Tevin Jenkins as an offensive lineman, that they don't believe in him for whatever reason, body type, whatever the case may be. But it's the opposite with Kendall Vildor, who I think a lot of Bears fans would have thought would have been irrelevant at this point in training camp just
right.
because he did not have a good year last year. They just drafted a cornerback in the second round. I still think Jalen Johnson can be really good, and I think most Bears fans agree with that. And here they are with Kendall Vildor out there a ton. And Matt Eberflus did talk about him a little bit today. It was very general. Like, he would like his speed and his hustle and his desire. So it is possible that you have a guy that is an exact system fit in terms of the way he practices and following the hits principle.
We be busting him.
Yeah.
And speaking of systems fit, they need a three technique. Is Justin Jones the guy?
I think he's the guy, Spiegel. And what I have learned about Justin Jones is that nobody likes being a three technique more than Justin Jones. Here's some more evidence of that.
Honestly, I want to play three technique. Like, if I could play three technique every year, that's what I do. I like playing three technique. That's the position I feel like I was born to play. That's just kind of what it is. Like, I'm an explosive athlete. I get out the ball. You know, I knock guys back. I disrupt plays. You know what I'm saying? I can rush. You feel me? And all the guys know that. You know what I'm saying? So this gives me the opportunity to be the beast that I know I am. So.
Why do you like three techniques so much? What about the position?
Man, I put their hand in the dirt. It's man on man then. You know what I'm saying? This is the reps in the weight room. You know what I'm saying? Those sprints, those get-offs, you know what I'm saying? Those ball get-offs, those bag drills, this is everything that we're working on. My last year, I was in the frog stance. I'm not a frog stance player, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to put that foot down, get in the dirt, and get off. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm on, and that's what the guys expect out of me. So that's what I'm going to bring.
I was in a frog stance.
I like that guy.
I like that guy, too.
He was great.
I like him.
I had a hard time narrowing him down today because he said a lot of good stuff.
Knows what he wants to do, knows how he wants to play, knows who he is. Sure.
We love all three technique content.
Oh, absolutely.
Three technique. Yeah. It's a newer type of situation.
Yeah, you know what? You curate your Bears reports for this show. I like that.
I got to tell you, Parco, you just nailed exactly what Justin Jones is going to be to people this year. He's going to be, and I like that guy. I don't think he's going to be a superstar. I don't think he's going to stand out. He's gonna be like, I like what he does. I like what he says.
And you
everything.
Know what? Yeah. Having Bears like that really would be a newer type of situation.
Yes, it would.
It would be.
Yes, it would.
All right, delicious Bears nuggets.
Yes, so we found out today that Matt Eberflus's philosophy is to play starters in the preseason, which Matt Nagy didn't do. So
God, that well, is so not
that
surprising.
He didn't do it, and then he, yeah,
right.
Is
yeah.
that is that so completely unsurprising too, that Eberflus like, oh yeah, we play our guys.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, hustle intensity.
Yes.
Yeah,
and of course they're going be going up against Matt Nagy's quarterbacks since he's the quarterback coach in that first game against KC.
Yeah, but I
we'll
can tell
get
you,
to that.
I can tell you, Andy Reid will not be playing Pat Mahomes.
No,
in that first preseason game.
No.
I can exclusively report that right now that he will not be playing. Pat,
yeah,
can you confirm that?
That checks out. I'm not going to be in that game, yeah. The first preseason game. Maybe the third one, the second one maybe,
yeah.
But I got to watch out for Jackson.
Right, yeah, there you go. Perfect. So we were able to confirm that right away from
God,
the source.
I missed him. I missed talking to him.
Hey, yeah. Tis the season.
There's no catch-up content these days.
The best.
Station.
Equanimeous St. Brown had a very good day today. He stood out on the offense. Roquan Smith, again, on the sidelines. My colleague Brad Biggs said or tweeted that he saw him walking with some trainers to another field before the practice. So Roquan's still present, which I think is good for Bears fans to know. And finally, the Bears are off tomorrow. We all get a deep breath tomorrow. No Bears, but then on Friday, Bears. So, Bears.
Okay, good.
Bears.
Enjoy your 9-minute show tonight.
Have a calendar where you wake up and you're like, Bears, not Bears.
Not Bears. That's what it's Bears. Supposed to be. Not Bears.
Every day.
It's a very depressing day in my place tomorrow. No Bears.
No Bears.
Later.
That is really tough. Thank you, Grody. Good stuff as always. We've got more from Vin Scully to end each hour of the show today. I find what another NFL team is doing with their quarterback situation fascinating. And it's going to sound very familiar. It's next on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Daz Newsom, have you found some good food in our fair city?
Hero chicken. It was actually buzzing.
Okay, good.
Afternoons on The Score.
Sure, I think it's just being a great teammate every day, having those conversations in the meeting room, in the locker room, or wherever we're at practice, helping him if he has any questions, and just share my experiences with him. I mean, going into year six, I have a lot of experience when it comes to training camp, when it comes to learning offenses. So I've seen a lot of defenses. So just having those conversations, it helps me as well, and we're just all trying to push each other. And when we do that, then we all get better.
Old friend Mitch Trubisky, he is getting every rep with the starters for the Pittsburgh Steelers and majority opinion top five coach in the NFL, Mike Tomlin, when they drafted the local kid in the first round from Pitt, Kenny Pickett. And it's not going well.
That sounds really familiar. Now, hold on, because I'm so used to thinking about Mitch as being the Mike Glennon to Kenny Pickett's Mitch Trubisky. But that's not where you're going. You're going to a different comp.
I find this to be kind of interesting. Mitch Trubisky had no ties to the Steelers, was brought in, then they drafted a guy.
Uh-huh.
And they're playing Mitch instead of the future. They're not rotating him in. Pickett's not getting any reps with the ones. Like, him and Mason Rudolph are alternating between the twos and the threes in Steelers camp. And the reports on Trubisky so far have largely been negative.
I saw those.
From how he's been performing. And it feels like, and I know it's still early, they haven't had that first preseason game yet, but they have put on the pads. It feels like the Steelers are handing Mitch Trubisky the starting job, just like Matt Nagy handed Andy Dalton the starting job and not giving Pickett a chance to win the job, just like the Bears didn't give Fields a chance to win the job. And Mitch has obviously accomplished way less than even Andy Dalton had, but neither of them had accomplished anything, Dalton for the Bears or Mitch for the Steelers, with their current employer, and they used a first-round pick on the future. I don't – and then the Bears did it. I lost my mind and was like, this is so stupid, but they're a stupid organization. Sure. Stupid teams do stupid things.
Steelers are a smart organization.
And they're doing the same thing. It's so weird to me. What has Mitch Trubisky done to deserve every first-team rep? Now, the counter-argument is, what has Pickett done to earn a first-team rep? Maybe he hasn't performed to that level yet. But like, I would say when you draft the kid in the first round, you should give him a chance to win the job.
Well,
it's crazy to me.
Now, Pickett was kind of a reach at 26.
I understand, right? There's a difference in the pedigree between Pickett and Fields. Absolutely.
Yeah. And,
there is.
And Fields, here's what I don't know, is how pro-style and NFL-ready the offense was at Pitt for Kenny Pickett as opposed to what Justin Fields had at Ohio State, because we were told that was very NFL-friendly and Ryan Day, guy with NFL roots.
It's
and
pro-style at Pitt. I mean, Wani loved him. Definitely, you know, operated more out of the shotgun than under center, like basically all college quarterbacks do. But, yeah, a West Coast offense at Pitt. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that Mitch Trubisky, when they draft Kenny Pickett, is not in a quarterback competition.
So have you sent your notes from last year to Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh?
He knows. He knows. And he's the president of the Kenny Pickett fan club.
Oh, there you go.
He did like a weekly show with him because they're the home of Pitt. Like, he's up in arms about it. So he doesn't need my help. That's my buddy who does afternoons in Pittsburgh. But I find that so interesting that, like, it's just these teams just are still, it's conventional wisdom, it's old school, like so many teams, even with the overwhelming evidence that young quarterbacks are able to be successful if you give them a shot to win and build the system around them and give them a chance to be competitive from the jump, they're still just like, now we got Mitch Trubisky. He was a backup for Josh Allen in Buffalo last year. Like, what has Mitch done to deserve all the first-team reps in Pittsburgh? It's crazy.
This is very early.
Very early.
So that thought process could change quickly, and Mike Tomlin has shown a willingness to be flexible and malleable about certain things like that. I could see him being adapting to the situation quickly. So let's see what happens. And you're showing Mitch some respect here. And I don't know why. And then it's like, well, did they tell him it in a contract? Which is what we asked about Dalton last year.
I know. It's history is repeating itself, but now Mitch is the guy being given the preferential treatment in a weird way where I don't know that he's deserved it. And I am rooting, like, I personally want Mitch Trubisky to be the starter for the Steelers. I want to see it. Like, I want to see if it was all the Bears, if it was all Mitch, if it was a combination of the two. Like, I really do want Mitch to get another shot to be a starter for an NFL team. So for my own rooting interests, I'm fine with it. But I got to imagine Steelers fans are going insane by it.
I'll tell you one thing that I would want if I were there, which I wanted last year. Don't make Kenny Pickett the backup. So he's one injury away from having to go in, having had no reps with the ones. Like, make him third string for sure. Because, I mean, that was part of the disaster here last year. Was Fields all of a sudden having to play as the backup when you had a perfectly useful backup in Nick Foles, same as Mason Rudolph? It really is a mirror image.
It's a mirror image. And, you know, someone on Twitter just came in and was like, what are you surprised about? How many Steelers practices have you watched? And you're questioning a Hall of Fame coach? Yeah, have you listened to the show before? I'll question anybody. It's weird. Mitch Trubisky has been birthrighted the starting reps for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Didn't see that one coming. Tanny, what's our Vin Scully tribute here?
Well, the Sox just wrapped up a 4-1 victory, so we're going White Sox here. This is a classic White Sox highlight. Back in the days, if you remember the great White Sox video they'd roll out before the team would take the field, the Pirates of the Caribbean music, Spiegs, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's like all the great moments in franchise history.
And you always saw, among other things, Carlton Fisk tagging out two people at the same time.
And that's
much
what we have here, 1985 Yankee Stadium setting us to break here. So here we go. Vin Scully, Carlton Fisk, classic White Sox moment.
Earlier this year against Kansas City, Ricky Henderson had the thrill, with quotes around the word thrill, of lining into a triple play, which would be quite an escape hatch for Tony La Russa. So two on, nobody out. Guillen is trying to bird dog Meacham. Walker is in on the grass at first. Hewlett near the bag at third. Full swing and a high drive into left center. Salazar. Statement of the year. And Meacham was like a fullback. Meacham is trying to throw a block at Fisk. If he can knock Fisk down, then Barra will score. But Pudge stayed on his feet and got him before he did go down.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.